Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Well, here's a question, rhetorically speaking. Maybe it's literal for you. Have you ever felt trapped by something? Maybe a destructive relationship, a dead-end job, a bad habit? And do you maybe believe, have a core belief that freedom's just not possible for you, like you're the exception to the rule, that there is no way? You know, I love how Scripture says that God makes a way where there is no way. He sees a pathway that no one else sees is there. Isn't that amazing? It's time for you to get free. God invites you. In fact, Scripture says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And my guest today is Andy Farmer. We're going to talk about his book, Trapped, Getting Free from People, Patterns, and Problems. What a great conversation. Got a couple of quick announcements before we get Andy on. One is something we are so thrilled about, and it's this. We are hosting the first, Lord willing, annual Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. You know I've been on faculty. I've attended conferences. I love the writing side of my life. And I'm telling you, when we've done writers' contests, we've had amazing turnout and just great interest. And as I've traveled, I've really realized there's a niche here in the upper Midwest, and behind the scenes, many others have realized that as well. So grateful that the university and our Faith Radio Network are partnering together, the University of Northwestern St. Paul and Faith Radio Network, partnering together to put on a one-day-only epic writers conference. We're bringing in A-list faculty. This is your chance to take your dream of writing to the next level. You'll be able to meet with editors, agents, experts in the field. I'll be on faculty. I look forward to meeting you. Registrations officially open January 1st. The reason I'm talking about this now, when the conference is Saturday, July 15th, is because the first 350 registrants are guaranteed a one-on-one face-to-face appointment, most likely with the faculty of your choice. So, if you get on the website now, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com, we'll link that to today's show page. Take a look at the faculty. We've got Mark Allen leading worship. We've got Liz Curtis Higgs as a keynote. We're just going to have an amazing time. Take a look at who you would like to meet with. And when you're ready to register, put in your request of appointment for your face-to-face with a faculty member. Super, super excited about that. And we are going to be prayerfully engaging in every way as those days get closer for our big conference. Also, a special welcome to those tuning in on one of our signals. You can now hear Faith Radio on 1290 AM in Hartford and FM in Hartford as of today. And I've got to find the signal. Where is it? There it is. 94.1 in West Hartford FM. Also, let's see, 90.7 FM in the Twin Cities. 104.7 FM in Madison, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, and for those of you streaming online from around the world, Faith Radio is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're so grateful to serve you in this way. Okay, so my guest today writes this. We live in a world full of traps and chains, sometimes of our own making, sometimes beyond our control. Many people feel trapped, and they look to God for freedom. So how is the gospel applied to trapped people? What achievement of the cross can a trapped person latch onto for hope and faith so that the trap can be sprung and the chains can be broken? What is it about the gospel that sets us free? And maybe you're listening today and you're somebody who feels trapped in a dead-end relationship, a dead-end job, a pile of debt, memories from the past that still haunt you. Well, listen, friend, today's show is for you. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Andy Farmer has served as pastor at Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, for over 20 years. He also serves on the Council Board of Biblical Counseling Coalition. He's the author of The Rich Single Life and Real Peace. He and his wife, Jill, live in Westchester, Pennsylvania, have four children, including three married daughters and several grandchildren. We're honored to have him on the show with us today. Andy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We love to start our conversations, Andy, talking Scripture. Wondering if you either have a life verse or just a verse you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, it's funny. You actually quoted it earlier when you started out. This Galatians 1 passage I kind of am living out of. It's for freedom that we have been set free. Mm. And I just find that very interesting to me because it speaks to sort of both sides of this dilemma of freedom that I've been exploring.
Well, tell me this. You know, you're an author. You've published before. How did the inspiration behind this book, I'm sure God dropped it into your spirit, but I want to know, what was the surrounding circumstances that made you receptive to this message, to wanting to write about this topic?
Yeah, actually, everything I've written kind of out of my pastoral experience, just being a pastor, doing a lot of counseling, caring for people, and just experiencing different ways they face their struggles and struggle, most of them being Christians, not all, but most of them being Christians. And so this book is in the similar vein where I recognize that I've dealt with a lot of people who use this kind of language. I feel trapped. I feel kind of hemmed in. I feel stuck. Those kind of words. But when it came to what they were doing about it, I found that they really had they tended to look for solutions that were just how do I fix my circumstances kind of solutions. And I felt like, boy, they don't really seem to grasp either what the scriptures are really giving them, and more importantly, I think what the gospel speaks to them about. So I began to sort of reflect on that, looking at my own life as well, and where I feel trapped, and sort of the book came out of that rumination. So that's kind of how it came into play, and that's kind of what fuels anything I write, that direction.
Yeah, very good. And we're going to talk and kind of delve into some real details, in a more detailed fashion, some of these traps that are common to people: pornography, eating disorder, the escape, laziness, approval trap. We'll dig into those in a deeper fashion. But, you know, as I was thinking and prepping for this show, Andy, I was thinking there seems to be two instinctive reactions for a trapped person. One is make a hasty decision without thinking about the long-term consequences, as you say, because the whole goal is just relief, get out of this trapped, you know, experience. Or two, settle in and dress up your prison cell with no thought or hope towards freedom. I would love for you to speak to those two tendencies and maybe add any further thoughts you might have.
Yeah, I think we all tend to want to, first of all, fix the traps. I mean, a lot of times when I sit down with somebody and I'm talking to them, the first thing they're saying is they're looking for ways out. They're looking for me to give them ways to get out from under things. And certainly, I think if you can, that's great. But there are things in life that, you know, it might be chronic illness, it might be a number of things that limit or trap your life that you just can't solve. Or there are things I don't write about in the book, having children who are astray or those kind of things. And so I feel like sometimes I need to kind of help people look at practically, can they do anything about it, or are they doing things that are unproductive or unhelpful, so that they begin to realize the limits of what they can do and then begin to turn to, okay, Lord, how can you step in and move in the situation? And then you find people are also very discouraged. They've just kind of lost hope that there can be any change, or that they can do anything but live in the midst of a problem with the problem defining them. And so it's that sense of having a problem define you is something I also feel a great burden for people.
Indeed. First hour, we had we have an artist corner. We do that every once in a while, where we bring in worship leaders or artists, and we hear the stories behind the songs. And Mark Allen opened up with his verse about the wilderness, and he said that, you know, it's not a matter of if, it's when. It's that there's something to be found, though, in that wilderness. And there's lots of scripture that talks about, I'll give you treasure stored in secret places. You know, these wildernesses really, I love to say, we'll pay tribute to our soul. Even these, I mean, God wants us free, but there are times, as you say, with chronic illness or situations that there's not an immediate answer, that it's not all bad. I mean, I just feel like God can redeem so many circumstances that we just want out, But I'm learning to, you know, as I've battled some chronic health issues, there are treasures to be found in some of these places. I'd love for you just to speak to that whole idea, because we miss a lot of that if it's all about rejecting our current status, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because the whole Bible is written to people who are trapped from the very beginning, trapped in sin, the whole Old Testament written to Jewish people trapped either in their own problems or their own making, or just being a people under duress. And you get to the New Testament, you have Jesus speaking to people who are under Roman rule and are in poverty and in places where they can't change their circumstances. And so, in a way, it's the whole Bible speaks to this issue. It speaks to this fundamental issue that we're in a place that we weren't created to be. And uh, we we can find joy in that. And so part of it is, it's not just learning lessons for me, it's also seeing things about who I am and who God is that I'll miss if I just simply look at my circumstances.
Very, very good. Well, you know, in John chapter 5, we read about this paralyzed man who was waiting at the healing pool for his turn to be healed, but someone would have had to help him in the pool. But it was so interesting when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" His initial answer was, "Well, I can't." And, I, you know, again, we're going to talk about the compassion of God and the grace of God for those who are trapped. And it's rich. He's rich in mercy. Again, though, we got to look at this aspect of it as well. But there are times we decide ahead of time that God can't, because I can't see a way out. So this must tie God's hands as well. So speak to just the importance of perspective, even when it feels like there is no way out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes you're facing difficulty in the God you're thinking about is only slightly bigger than your difficulty.
Mm.
And he's not big enough to really change things, and he's not big enough to really do something in it, but he's big enough to where you feel like he has responsibility for it. And so part of the issue I deal with is trying to help people see that God's much bigger than the way you're perceiving him right now. And even the way maybe your circumstances are making him look. We look at God through the lens of our circumstances, and by doing that, it really shapes how we view him. So if we feel that, boy, he hasn't responded to my prayers, then God's distant. He doesn't care about me. Or if I've done something and God hasn't responded to what I've done, then God isn't faithful. He hasn't done what he said he promised to do. And so a lot of these ideas about who God is get shaped by our circumstances, and then we live out of them. And so many times it'll come out in the way people pray. I'll ask people to pray in counseling, and in the prayer I'll hear their view of God, and often it's this distant God or this God who is unfeeling and uncaring or unable to help. And I think that's the natural human tendency. I don't see that as, boy, that's, you know, people are really in a bad place. I just see that's more the natural tendency we have to reshape God in the image of what we're struggling with.
And yet we get into those places where we dare to look up or dare to just to take him at his word, and we start to see on the other side his faithfulness. It's suddenly you've got a history developing with God, and you know something more about his character. And boy, it's so important to walk through these seasons to be filled with the knowledge of God, to know that he is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he'll do, even if right this moment he's not doing it. Talking to Andy Farmer today. Title of his book is Trapped: Getting Free from People, Patterns, and Problems. Got 3 copies. If you're interested, email me to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Put Trapped somewhere in that email. Got a question for Andy, you can include that as well. When we come back, we're going to talk about the approval trap, the pornography trap, the substance abuse trap, some of these traps that hold us, and what are some next steps that we can take so that we can apprehend the freedom that God intends for us. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. He is the God of the impossible. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to pastor and author Andy Farmer. Title of his book, Trapped: Getting Free from People, Patterns, and Problems. And maybe you've been there, maybe you are there, where you feel trapped, you're stuck, and there's just no way out. Maybe you're in a job you absolutely hate, but you're in debt up to your eyeballs. You've got a family to take care of. You feel stuck. Have you lost hope? I challenge you to keep listening. I really believe we'll have a word of encouragement for you today. Andy, I would love to know if you've identified any common core beliefs of people who are trapped across the board. Are there just certain tapes that get rehearsed in their minds that maybe almost keep them in that place rather than maybe moving forward where God would have them go?
Yeah, I think sort of a resignation. This is just where I'm at is very common. People, they're just kind of there, and they're the idea, where they live out of is I'm just enduring. So that's a huge one. That's one of the things I see when I see people trapped. They may not even feel that they're trapped. They just, for a long time, just said, I'm just going to live this life. Some extreme traps, a lot of times what you'll experience is people don't really even know it until something happens that reveals it. Somebody doesn't realize they really have a drinking problem until something happens and they realize, well, yeah, you know, I've got a drinking problem. Or even there's a tendency to kind of close your eyes to the issues that you face and just try to move on. So a lot of the problems I see that people face where they really are feeling trapped, it'd be hard to even sort of say, describe it to me, because it's not, sometimes it's just the consequences of the trap that sort of clues them in that there's a problem. And so, yeah, it's what you don't see is people who really know how to move forward in life. And in some sense, they're just stuck and they can't move forward. And so they don't know what to do except just stay where they're at.
Well, I would love for you to talk about what true freedom is, because as you're talking and as I was prepping today, I was thinking, I'm sure some listening today feel trapped in a marriage that they feel the answer is, well, it's just to get a different marriage or get out of this marriage. And yet sometimes the very place where they feel trapped is the context for a miracle. And you know what I mean? Where God's not sanctioning that you walk away from something that's hard because it's hard. It's the very place, you know, the valley of what is it, Baca, you know, become a place of pool of blessings where he fills the valley. I want you to talk about the kind of freedom Jesus talked about when he said it's actually for freedom. You know, I came to set you free.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that the heart of my book deals with this question of what does it mean for us to be redeemed? What does it mean? And redemption, the rich redemption language in Scripture, has to do with the fact ultimately that God purchases people out of bondage into freedom. So we're not naturally free. We're not free people. We're people in bondage. And so you see that in the Old Testament. The Exodus story is the central story of the Old Testament, and it's the story of God redeeming a people out of bondage into freedom. And Jesus says that in Mark, where he talks about he has come to redeem, and that theme of redemption just pulses all through Scripture. And it has to do with the fact that we have been purchased by God for himself. And so for me, the first place to start is there really isn't anything where I can say I'm completely free. I'm a free agent. I can do what I want. We're bound to something. We're bound to sin. We're bound to life apart from God. Or we're purchased by God for himself. And freedom really is being under the ownership of God and accepting the fact that God owns me, and because he owns me, he's got a life of freedom from all the struggles of life that I might experience ultimately, and he'll get me home that way. So to me, freedom is not kind of the way typically people understand freedom. Well, you know, I'm free to do whatever I want. It's no, I've been bought by Christ, and I've been set free to live a life that pleases him. And we have that orientation, then every circumstance, good and bad, takes on a whole different view, because we realize there's something much greater about my life than simply getting through day by day.
There's something much greater about my life than simply getting through day by day. I think you needed to hear that today. Andy, we've got about 4.5 minutes before our bottom of the hour break, and we may need to carry this part of the conversation to the other side. But it seems that at the core, if we don't believe that God is good, we won't believe that the freedom that he has for us is our best case scenario. You know what I'm saying? Where when you think about we're not our own. We've been bought with a price if we're in Christ. If we don't believe God's good, that doesn't sound like freedom. But if we believe he's good, then we trust him when he says sin is bad for you. And even in your hard situation, I want you to know a soul freedom, a holy confidence, you know, fueled a faith heart so that you can be brave and courageous. That is what freedom is. And to me, that's when you see someone walking through their valleys and on their mountains with that humble, holy confidence. They know something other people don't know. That's the kind of soul freedom that he's talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's knowing who Jesus Christ is and who he is for us. I think that's a lot of times I think the tendency is to take our eyes off of who Jesus Christ is for us, what he has done for us, who he is for us, what it means to be, to live a life in him, and take our eyes and put on other things. That's the problem that the Israelites had. They they had been set free for freedom, but they kept turning their eyes away from God into the world, either wanting what the world had for them or offered them, which was bondage ultimately, or fearing what the world would do to them, which is another form of bondage. And so the tendency for us always is to have that tendency to either get attracted to what the world offers us and want to place our hopes there, or fear what's going to come at us from the world and live out of that fear as well. Those are both really profound types of bondage that we all face. And the answer is we look to Christ. Christ is our freedom, and he is the way that we live a life where the burdens and problems and traps and chains don't define us.
What are those two extremes again? One was that we would be affected by the world, so we sort of hunker down and self-preserve. What was the other one, being baited into the things of the world?
The attraction of the world, the sense we have that the world, you know, everything in the world will offer us something that will be true freedom. That's the great tendency, is we think we can find freedom in the world. The last chapter in the book, actually, I speak, it's really about a real-life person who wrestled with that question. He was being offered everything, and yet he was wrestling with, what does it mean to be a Christian in the midst of this, in the midst of this world that attracts me? And so that's a very important thing we have to deal with, because the world is, for a lot of us, it's very attractive, and for some of us, it's very frightful.
And the thing is, how many of us live in that delusion that the things that, you know, this friend of yours or this man you're writing of, he sounds like he had it at his fingertips. Well, lots of people, it's not even within their reach, so they still have the tendency to dream, you know, I just need that thing to be okay. I need that house. I need that job. I need that person. And we buy the lie, don't we, that we need that thing, and then we'll know a freedom. We'll know a strength that we don't know now.
Yeah. And a lot of traps don't start off as bad things.
Yeah.
They're often good things that we just depend on too much, or want too much, or take too much, emotional, mental real estate in our lives, and they become traps that, well, we almost give ourselves into them. There are certainly things that we can get into that are, you know, that we can throw ourselves into the traps, but a lot of things, relationships, being a parent, I can recognize how my kids do, which is an important thing, becomes too important to me, then I'm trapped by how they perform for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trapped actually by what they're doing, and that can be a place where we can stop loving them, and stop seeing their best interests, because our interests become the most important thing.
Well, they become a means to an end. So when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about, how do you know if you're trapped? As Andy said, a good thing can turn into a bad thing for you if it becomes something that traps you, where you're serving it more than you're serving God. We'll identify how to know if we're trapped and what are some steps we can take to be free. The title of his book is Trapped, Getting Free from People, Patterns, and Problems. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address if you want him in the drawing. 3 copies are going out the door tomorrow. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise. Really glad to have you listening today. I hope you've had a great day. Well, my guest today is pastor and author Andy Farmer. The title of his book is Trapped, Getting Free from People, Patterns, and Problems. Really a great start of the new year, wouldn't you say? Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I just have to say, I really believe that God has an upgrade in faith and freedom for all of us. We all have areas that we kind of almost obey, make rules around, or we don't even challenge the status quo, places we've been trapped that we've not even considered the thought that maybe Jesus wants to, you know, open the door and set us free. And it is for freedom that he set us free. We've got 3 copies of Andy's book. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Jack listens in and he says, I'd love to be entered for a chance to win this book. He says, it sounds like a tremendous book. And Jack, I want to tell you, write me back and give me your mailing address, because I really want to get you in on the drawing. Andy writes this, do we know truly what it feels like to be free? The freedom we're designed for may be unfamiliar to us. It is a freedom we don't earn and we cannot win. I contend that it is a gift from God who's made us with the capacity for real freedom. I hope to give you a vision of freedom that doesn't get bogged down in philosophy or truncated by the limits in life that we all experience. I want to stir up a desire for that freedom and help to see, help you see how a life of true freedom, full, deep, and joyous freedom is actually possible here and now in a world of traps, cages, chains, and walls. Can I get an amen? So let's talk, if we can, about just symptoms and signs, Andy, that a person might be trapped. As you said before the break, it could even start out to be a good thing. You want your kids to succeed, but suddenly you need them to validate your identity. What are some just sure signs that we might be trapped?
Well, I think the biggest one that I'm aware of is when we move from I want to I need. That's a great illustration or a great indication that there's something that's gotten hold of my life. So that could be anything. It could be the respect of coworkers. It could be the love of my spouse. It could be the, you know, the obedience of my children. Those are all things that we would want. It would be natural and understandable. But when it become I need, I think then you've got a problem with being trapped, and you're stuck in that. One of the chapters in the book is on laziness, which was actually my kind of lifelong struggle, and so it came out of the battling that struggle, and it was a sense where I just felt I needed certain things, and I would orient my life around them, and the result was it affected other people in ways that I just didn't even recognize. And so I think there's that tendency. I think also we need to distinguish between wanting good things and then allowing ourselves to indulge in things that are unhealthy to begin with. So when we talk about addictions, there's, in a sense, addictions can attach to anything, can attach to any kind of behavior that we do. But when you begin to use things to medicate yourself away from problems, and that creates an addictive tendency, I think that's a trap where you're now escaping from an issue by doing something that takes your mind or your emotions off of it. And so I write about that as well, because I feel like we live in an addictive tendency world. A great example would be the way we use television these days, the way we use the internet, the way we live streaming our world, that can be addictive. That can be entrapping. And we can not even realize how much time we spend of our lives giving ourselves to something simply to entertain ourselves. So those are kinds of traps as well.
What do we miss when we are medicating, when we use things to just medicate ourselves against our problems, to default to kind of just habits that actually are keeping us from the best of what God has for us?
Well, we miss the adventure of life.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't live the life God would have us to live, which is a life of faith. It's not a life apart from, without trial, but it's a life where we walk in an awareness of God's presence and help in the midst of trial. And you know, I've walked through some challenging things in my life, and I found that God is there. He's an ever-present help in time of need, But I can turn my attention to things that seem to give me much more of an immediate satisfaction, immediate sense of relief. And so we lose that sense of adventure in life. I think another thing, we lose the ability to really affect the lives of others. We get inwardly focused. We get focused around our little worlds. And God has kind of put us here to, part of our job is to affect the lives of others, to be His hands, His feet, His words to others as well. And so you can see people who are trapped, they don't think much beyond themselves or the way other people are affecting them. And so the great adventure of being part of God's plan, redeeming other people, gets lost in the process.
Boy, that's such an incredible point.
Two things that are really, really sad and mm-hmm. tragic. See those happening.
And man, I mean, just that's one of the things, Andy, that gets me out of bed every day is just the mobilization of God's people, because we live so beneath our privilege in Him, you know, because of just a willingness to stay trapped or unbelief. And I thought it was so interesting. I wish we had another full hour with you because I have so many of these questions out of your content. But you talked about the laziness trap. I thought it was just stunning where you wrote about the outer ruin of a sluggard's life. And you just touched on this, Jeanette, just now, but the damage of fruitlessness. I want you to unpack that a bit more. So we're talking about the laziness trap. I often equate that to, you know, the trading of the birthright for a bowl of soup. I want to be comfortable now. Never mind if I give up my inheritance. But talk about the outer ruin of a sluggard's life and the damage of fruitlessness.
Yeah, for myself, I really, you know, in reading Proverbs and just studying it, because I was aware that, yeah, you know, I have this tendency, and, you know, the problem with lazy people is that they're pretty content in their laziness. It's just, it's more, you don't realize what you're losing by that way. And so there's, in Proverbs, it talks about the going past the field of the sluggard, and part of what I do in that chapter is unpack that sort of section of Proverbs, where the reality is the sluggard there has had a field and he didn't use it. And by not using it, he lost the opportunity that came with having it. And I started looking at my own life and I thought, yeah, there are just a lot of things that I could affect and be part of that I'm just content to not be. And it was affecting my children, it was affecting my marriage, it was affecting the way I served my church. I had to really go after it it felt like a very passive thing until I started looking at it and realized, no, this is very much an active thing for me. I'm actively pursuing laziness.
Wow.
And it was a much more aggressive thing than you would think it would have been.
I think it's fascinating, Andy. I've never heard anybody talk about it that way, but I think because I have always felt passivity is a parasite, you know. I so appreciate you. You just don't sound one bit like a sluggard, I'm just telling you. But I thought it was so interesting how you said that there's an inner rebellion in a sluggard's life. So that's not just this kind of, you know, static, passive thing. There's an outright kind of pushing against the things maybe that they ought to be doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, sluggard, at least the way I understand myself, it's still about control. I think that you see people who are sort of control focused. They need control over things, and they're, you know, my wife would probably say, yeah, that's where she would want control over things. I want control, but the way I want it is I just don't want to be controlled. I don't want anything to control me. So any sort of instinct that, okay, you're telling me to do something, this is requiring something of me, if it's coming at me wanting to control me, you're going to see a lot rise up in me to try to avoid it, to try to get away from it, to try to hide it, to duck it. And that was how – it was still control-driven. I was trapped by a desire for control, but it was mostly just to not be controlled by others.
Interesting. Okay, let's talk for a moment about the approval trap, because on this show, Andy, we talk a lot about that passage from Scripture that says the fear of man is a snare and the fear of God is safety. One translation says freedom. Again, we could spend a whole hour on this, and I think it plagues many people. Talk about this aspect of being trapped.
Yeah. Well, again, I think it's, you know, we all want the approval of others. We all, you know, I mean, I think you'd have to be not doing well psychologically to not care about what other people think about you. And so the issue is not that we shouldn't care about it. I think the issue is how much do we care and how does that control our lives. And I use an illustration that it's sort of built around a composite person in the book where it's a woman who gradually over time let the expectations of people around her define her. I think I say somewhere in the book that she had 30 years of experience, but no identity to show for it. And that's kind of that's what the approval of others does. We become shaped by, and it's interesting. It's not just the approval of others, but our perception of their approval, and that's a real trap. We live with a sense that we need to respond to what we perceive other people think about us. And you can imagine if that really is going on in our lives, we're not even dealing with reality at that point. We're dealing with what we think is reality. So, you know, my coworker doesn't speak kindly to me. I perceive them to be angry with me. I live out of that. And reality is, you know, perhaps they just preoccupied with their own world, or maybe even something's going on in their lives and I would never know it, because I perceive it as against me. And So that's the way the approval trap works. We're very, very conscious of how we think others feel about us.
And how would a person, someone listening today going, okay, you've got me pegged, what would be some first steps to shaking free from that trap?
Yeah, I think, again, I think we all struggle with it in various ways. I think that the things I would encourage someone to do is to identify who those people are, or what kind of people do I tend to give the most authority of their approval to. Is there somebody in my life? Is it a family member? Is it a parent? Is it a spouse? Because when I do that, I treat them like a problem, not like a person. So I think first thing I would do is say, who are those people, or what type of person really, really affects how you think about yourself? Just to get a feel for, is there some pattern that you find that certain types of people there really affect you, and so that you're aware of that. And then I think I say, and then I think you need to go and spend time getting to know Jesus and getting to know the one whose approval is not based on your performance, is not based on how you measure up, that has done all the work for you, that views you, God views you through really the perfect Christ. And you often find there's a real lack of understanding of who Jesus Christ is for people, not just who he is as God and Savior, but who he is for you, that he really is your identity. And so getting them to really start thinking that way and studying that way and reading the Bible that way. So many people read their Bible for what do I do next. They don't read the Bible for who I'm supposed to become.
Boy, good word. Just the other day I tweeted a John Ortberg quote. He says, what did he say? Let me think about this. He said, habits eat willpower for breakfast. In other words, we might have the best of intentions, but our habits will win the day. And that's why we need to go after these things. Habits that are destructive, that ensure us being trapped, just got to take an inventory and take a look at those. Because what if we walk into this next season of life with an upgrade of freedom, an upgrade of understanding of, as Andy says, who God is to us? When we come back, we're going to talk more about the trap of the secret escape. And we're also going to talk about that there's grace in our freedom. There's identity in our freedom. We get to be a work in progress. Our identity is secure. Email me if you want in on the drawing for a copy of Andy's book, Trapped, Getting Free from People, Patterns, Problems. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to pastor and author Andy Farmer about his book, Trapped, Getting Free from People, Patterns, and Problems. If you just hopped in the car on your way home from work, just tuned in, this is one you might want to go back and listen to the whole show. We're talking about different aspects of being trapped. And Andy even said earlier that it can start out to be a good thing, this thing that you love, like you want your kids to succeed. But when you need them to succeed for you to be okay, suddenly you're trapped. Maybe you love your favorite TV show, but when you start to use TV as a constant means of escape, or your occasional glass of wine turns into constant consumption, you can see how this happens. And the enemy wants us in captivity. Jesus wants us free. One of the traps that you identify in the book, Andy, is the secret escape. Now, you touched on the TV thing. I don't know if that falls under this umbrella, but maybe unpack that a bit more, if you would.
Yeah, actually, that one is interesting because I address eating disorders and pornography in the same chapter, which is somewhat dicey.
Yeah, I bet. Glad you did that, though.
And the reason I did it was because in my counseling experience, anyway, when I've talked, most people who start with eating disorders tend to be women, and most people who start with pornography tend to be men. That's statistically. But I found that when I was talking to, for example, a wife of a man who might struggle with pornography, and she was trying to get her to think about how do I understand what he's dealing with, and I would mention, have you ever talked to somebody who's had an eating disorder? And I said, well, it may be something like that, and it really helped him. And the same way with talking to husbands, whose wives had eating disorders, and if you ever know the guy who's really struggled with pornography, it might be something like that. And I found that they were helped by that because it sort of started to show that these problems are not really ultimately about food and sex. They're about escapes. They're about something that gives me false comfort that has gone to a dangerous extreme. So that's kind of where the idea of secret escape. The other thing about it that made it secret is that there are things that you almost have to do alone. You have to withdraw from people to do. You can't do them in community. You can't do them in relationship. They're relationship destroying. They're life isolating problems too.
Interesting. Again, I wish we had more time because there's so much more I want to ask you about. But what about being trapped by legalism? In fact, you said this is so good. What are your legalistic tendencies? Everyone has them. Where are you prone to perform for your freedom? Old habits die hard, and the habits of trying to justify ourselves before God is one of the oldest and hardest habits to kill. To kill self-justification, Paul calls us to stand firm in our freedom, not to work for it, but to embrace it as a free gift of grace. Excellent that you covered that as well. Say more if you would.
Yes. I think self-justification, that's kind of how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who think about God, they think about performance. They think about either they feel they've done enough and so God should be okay with them, or they will never do enough and they, why bother? And so what Paul deals with in Galatians in particular was a tendency for people to think, yes, we can actually justify ourselves before God. We can do what's necessary for God to approve us. And Paul goes after that very strongly in Galatians, and he offers another way, a way of freedom. Listen, let me help you get free from that, all those regulations, whatever it is in the Old Testament and in Paul's time. There's a lot of religious things, but in our way, it might not be religious. It might be, I need to do good works. I need to help these people. I need to be this kind of person. I need to have these kind of values. Those are legalistic tendencies. They're things that at the heart of them, we feel required to do for God to approve us. And what Jesus comes along with, no, I've set you free from all that. And my approval is based on grace. And so because of that, you're free to live a life that really does please me. You can please me with your life. It's not like we can't please God. We can, but it's because of grace, not because of our own efforts.
Well, this is maybe a really important point to make as well. I loved how you talked about the ripple effect, the damage of fruitlessness, of some of these traps that, as you said, keep us from being a blessing to others. We're so stuck in our stuff and sometimes protecting our stuff. Sometimes it's by no fault of our own, but here we are trapped. Other times by our own doing. But either way, there's parts of aspects of our captivity that keep us from the fruitfulness that God has for us. I would say it's the same when you're trapped by legalism. In fact, you hear about people who are either raised in the church or coming near to Christianity. What turns them away so often? It's not the Christian who struggles with drinking too much and hates himself for it, even though that person needs to deal with their excess. It's oftentimes the legalist who's shunning people because they're not as righteous as they themselves are. I mean, here again, this is it's damaging, isn't it, to be trapped by legalism?
Yeah, particularly when, religious legalism is particularly challenging because it seems so right.
Yeah.
And it seems like we can do it. But we all live with a sense that, and everybody likes the idea, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. And what you end up with Christian lives that are built that way or churches that are built that way, they really are for the people who work the hardest. And so people who struggle, people who live kind of battling day by day just to kind of make it along, eventually just get discouraged. And so, part of what I care about as a pastor is I want to make sure that people in my church, people that I come in contact with, don't live as if they'd have to perform to be part of what God's doing. That God takes us. I mean, I'm a mess at times, and God takes me and he uses me. And I'm much more interested in ultimately what I want to be as a person than what I want to do as a person.
Hmm. Well,
God doesn't need me to do a lot. Yeah. I just want to become who I am in Christ.
Well, if you would, we've just got a couple minutes left, 2-3 minutes left here before we wrap and pray, Andy, but cast a vision for us for, you know, you look at these scenarios, and you know, I'm sure they're represented in our listening audience of people who struggle, either hate themselves for it or don't even realize till now, till this conversation, that they're maybe captive and trapped by their laziness or by their escapism or by their legalism or their eating disorder, whatever. Cast a vision for what freedom could look like if we start to face some of these things head on with the grace of Jesus in our midst.
Yeah, I would think my hope for myself, and that, you know, you write for yourself most of all, my hope for myself is that I'll live a life where I get up in the morning and recognize that I belong to God. And that's a good thing. And because I belong to God, He's orchestrating my life in certain ways so that I can be more like Him, that I can enjoy Him in ways that are really unique to me, and that I can have an impact for Him in ways that are unique to me. And I don't need to compare myself with others. I don't need to achieve anything in this life. I, you know, every day, again, sort of becomes that sense of, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? And I can even face difficulties. I think freedom allows us to face difficulties, recognizing that, no, this is a part of the freedom walk that we have. This is a part of the trail that we follow, ultimately knowing that there is a point in time in the future when I will be free of all trial, free of all difficulty, free of all grief, free of all sadness. And I'm living that life bit by bit, looking forward to that day. So to me, freedom is a day-by-day looking for what God has for me in terms of who I'm becoming and what He wants me to do through that.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. Well, we're going to pray now. And I would wonder, Andy, if you would pray for that person listening today who's suddenly realizing it's like their soil got stirred up and they're realizing that God has some work to do with them. And I always say it's not obligation, it's invitation. He's calling you up to something new. Would you pray for that person?
Yes. Be happy to. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. For those in the audience today or listening later on who are recognizing that they are trapped or coming into this knowing that they're trapped, Lord, I pray that you would help them to get their eyes off of the situation they're in, get their eyes off of their own struggles, Lord, and look afresh to you. You came, Lord, to free us. You are the Redeemer. You are the one who purchased us. By your blood we have been purchased, and you have set us free, Lord. You brought us into your life, and so we can live a life of freedom in you. And so I pray for each one, God, that they would find a fresh vision for who you are, what you've done for them, and that they would be able to see in that faith to be able to walk differently in their struggles and be freed from the specifics of the traps they're facing. Lord, you have done this for us. Lord, you have set us free from the greatest trap, the trap of our own sinfulness, so we might live a life serving you. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Andy, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great conversation.
My pleasure.
Loved it. Title of his book, Trapped. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Great show today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember, if you're an aspiring author, aspiring writer, check out the website Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We'll link it to today's show page. Don't put it off. Take the next step and sign up. It's going to be epic, amazing. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.